Hey, I'm Jeremy Boone. Welcome to this episode of the Coach Your Best podcast. You can find me on the web at www.athletebydesign.com. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter with user handle ID athletebydesign. Now, this episode I'm really, really excited about, and actually it's the start of a multi-part series on a topic that is very important to me, and actually it's one that I am the most passionate about. And this is a topic that I've had an opportunity to, in the past month, travel around and speak at a few different national conventions, in Nashville, Tennessee at the NSCA Coaches Conference, to Philadelphia at the U.S. Lacrosse Convention, and then to a few just local and state opportunities and workshops and clinics. But the topic is this. It's on the whole idea of what it takes to build a winning culture. And before we talk about culture, first we're going to make the comments that winning cultures always trump winning programs. And what tends to happen in the world of sport, whether you're a strength coach, performance coach, sports coach, physical therapist, athletic trainer, and anything that comes under that umbrella of sports science and sports medicine, that we tend to focus on copying winning programs. We want to know what do the best of the best do, because that must mean that we should be doing that as well. And so we want to go and find out what their 8 to 12 week training program is, or their 12 week ACL rehab protocol, and take that back and just drop it right into our own programs. And those don't last. Those are short-lived, partly because the people that make up your own organization within your own team, the athletes that you work with, aren't the same as another's. And so just because it worked for them certainly doesn't mean that it works for me or that it works for you. So with that said, I mean, again, to come back to this idea that a winning culture always will trump a winning program. The culture is about the people that you interact with each and every day. So again, that can be maybe your upper management. It can be your training staff. It can be the athletes that you work with. It can even be the parents that you have to deal with on a daily, weekly basis. Hopefully, that's more of a scenario of a parent that is a raving fan for you versus a parent that's a nightmare for you each and every day. So, but regardless, all those different scenarios make up your culture. So what I'd like to do in this episode is to give you the first of four keys to building a winning culture. And here's the first one. It's that language shapes your culture. And by language, I mean a couple of things. Number one, I mean your body language, because there have been multiple studies that have showed that what you actually say is not as important as your body language when you're interacting with other people. So body language is huge. Are you someone who keeps your hands in your pockets? If you're a younger coach and you talk kind of slow and maybe you're very quiet, or do you take on the football strength coach personality that you're big and loud and your hands are moving and you're clapping and you got a lot going on, because that's a big energy that you bring to the table there. And there are times for that work, maybe on the sideline before a game, getting guys going early in the morning. But if you're a physical therapist or an athletic trainer, that's probably something that you're not going to bring into your training room every time you've got a new athlete coming in and a session that you work with. Maybe sometimes you've met someone with body language when they've got to talk with you and communicate with you. They are all up in your space. And you're like, whoa, you need to back up. You're a little too close to me right now. Especially if they got some bad breath. You're like, here, take this mint. Put that mint in before you talk to me. But body language really dictates the set and the environment that you're designing and the experience that you create with your athletes when you're coaching and when you're working with them. Now, the second type of language comes around the actual words that you use. But before I talk about the words, there are a couple other pieces to this in terms of the language shapes your culture. Voice inflection is huge. Are you a coach, or maybe you know coaches that are just monotone when they talk? And so that brings for me, makes me go to sleep. So if I'm an athlete and you come out and you're talking monotone and you want me to get all pumped up and jacked up and be mindful for practice, that's probably not happening. So voice inflection is important. Tone, critically important. Let me give you a great example. If you're listening right now and you're married, guys, you will know this to be true. How many times have you been to that point where you're basically headed to the doghouse, you got to apologize and say you're sorry, and you say the right words, but you didn't say it the right way, and what happens? Your wife says, well, yeah, that apology wasn't sincere, so I'm not accepting that. And you're like, what? Are you kidding me? So tone is huge. Voice inflection is huge. That creates a certain authenticity with what you're trying to get across with your athletes and how you're trying to communicate with them. Then we've got this next piece. It's about statements versus questions. And this is probably what I find when I get to travel around and work with coaches, and especially young coaches as well. The biggest trap when it comes to trying to get the best out of your athletes and developing talent and building skills and teaching strategies and working with athletes to make great decisions. This whole idea of statements versus questions. And too often we get caught up in wanting our athletes to be so technically proficient, especially if you're a performance coach that works on fundamental movement skills, or in the weight room, if you're working on Olympic lifting, or you're working on some hamstring posterior chain stuff, that we use statements that drive our communication and the language that we use with our athletes, to the exclusion of using questions. And here's the great thing about questions. Number one, we've got the cliche that, we're all made with two ears and one mouth. But going beyond that, here's the great thing about questions, is that questions do two things. Number one, they create awareness with your athlete within their brain. They make your athlete think about their own thoughts, choices, behaviors, and actions within whatever topic or agenda that you're working with them on. Number two, more importantly, but you got to have the first one. You got to have awareness. Number two, it creates an opportunity for some self-reflection. And when athletes can slow down enough and do some self-reflection, that's where learning occurs. Because otherwise, if it's just statements, it's like when I go and watch my son's sports activities, or you're watching a middle school or high school sports game, and what's happening during the game, the coach is just screaming out, telling his athletes what to do, where to go, and it's like this robotic type of feel, and the game never gets into any kind of good rhythm. The athletes, come out flat, and they're scared to make a mistake because it's all statement, 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 statement. So think about questions. So if you see an athlete make a mistake when you're working with them, instead of wanting them to right off the bat tell them what they need to do better, open it up with a question. Maybe it's something as simple as, what felt good about that? What didn't feel good about that movement? What can you do to make it feel better? Or if you see a great repetition, you want to praise that effort and praise that repetition. What felt great about that? Can you repeat that feeling? Make that happen. Make it feel just like that. Let's do five more reps. Make it feel just like that. That's huge. If you're a sports coach listening right now, this applies to some strategy situations too within your practices. So if you have an athlete who you're working on receiving a ball and dribbling or passing into space, or you're doing some small-sided game stuff, maybe it's some small 3v3, and every time they receive the ball, they're looking to play it off or play it back, and you're working on attacking, you want to get forward. And they have an opportunity to dribble, split the gap, and then pull the trigger from 18 yards out. They're not doing that. So instead of telling them, ask them, hey, what could you have done differently in that moment? You chose to receive the ball, turn your back to the goal, and lay it back. What could you have done differently? Give me some options there. Let's talk through them. If you get nothing else from this episode, it's the following. Is that we tend to focus on more as coaches what we want from our athletes to the exclusion of talking to them about what we want for them. And that's a starvation, time-starved mindset. Is that I've got 60 minutes, I've got 75 minutes with you. We have a lot of things to cover in this time together. Here's what I want from you. get going here, here, here. Get your dynamic warm-up going. Get your foam rolling in. Get your mini bands. Get your med ball routines. It's all this language about what I want from you. And we forget the most important piece, which is, what do you want for them? You know, they're busting their tail for you. They're in there doing everything that you're asked. Hopefully they're doing that. You know, but why? Give the bigger picture. Paint the future for them. Give them an opportunity to live in to the story that you're going to paint in their mind. They're coming in and they've gained 11 pounds, you know, in the off season with you, and they've gotten a little faster when they come in and they go through that speed session today and then say, hey, here's why we're doing all this. This is what I want for you. I want then when you get into the postseason of your play this year that you still have fourth quarter speed, because that's where a lot of games tend to be won or lost, not in the first quarter. And so all this work that you're doing right now is going to pay off in that moment. Paint that picture in your athlete's mind. The language you use shapes your culture. And at the end of the day, you know, here's the truth. The healthier the relationships are with the people that are on your team, within your organization, and it's especially the healthier the relationships are with the athletes that you work with, then you're setting them up to be able to more consistently play their best. That means that you're able to value them, and you show that with the language that you use and the way you communicate, that you value them not conditionally based on what they can and can't do. Because we've got to remember that all of our athletes want to be valued as a person first and a player second. And so that relationship then often is defined by the language that you use, your body language, the words, voice inflection, your tone. Are you asking questions? Are you painting pictures in the future for them? All those things set that up. And then now you start to create a very engaging culture. Athletes can't wait to get to work with you each and every day when they're in that space. So what kind of culture are you striving for? What kind of culture do you have now? If I come in and I get to be a fly on the wall and I'm watching, I'm checking out, what's the energy in your environment? What's going on? What are you saying? What's that look like in the relationship with your athletes? Maybe you want a different culture than you have now. If so, that starts here with the language that shapes your culture. Now, in the next episode, I'm going to give you the second key of what it takes to building a winning culture. But in the meantime, if you've gotten value out of today's episode, do me a favor. Jump on iTunes, rate and review it, share it with others. Because the goal of the Coach Your Best podcast is simply to have some meaningful discussion with you to help you be able to coach your best. So that wraps up today's episode of Coach Your Best. And at the end of the day, my challenge to you is to be the coach that your athletes need you to be. Until next time, have a good one.